It's a privilege to be with Ken Cook today, and I yield the floor to my distinguished colleague.
Thank you, Senator, very much. Well, thank you for taking the time from your busy schedule today, Senator Lugar. I ran into you earlier in the year at Dulles Airport, and we were talking about the Farm Bill coming up, and you said at the time, maybe it's time to kick the can down the road again. And I remembered thinking as soon as I walked away, I wondered if we were doing the kicking or if we were the can. There is that question. But we're at it one more time. And I have to say, the first time I think I appeared before your committee, you had a young aide named Chuck Connor, who was managing your conservation portfolio. And he and you, working together with the rest of the committee, put together a massive change in 1985. So this can happen. It is possible to make important fundamental changes in agricultural policy, but it takes leadership, and that's the kind of leadership that's always been on display with Senator Lugar in agriculture, looking ahead, looking outside, thinking outside the box, and proposing bold ideas. And the legislation you just described, which we support, is a good example. What we're going to talk about today, very briefly, is a new addition to our database, which a lot of you know about. It lists over the years the names of each and every farm subsidy recipient in the country and the amount of money that they've received. What we're doing today is a little bit different. The single biggest item in this new Farm Bill in terms of spending for commodity programs is the money that we'll spend under the direct payments, supposedly, if things go forward as many predict they will. We hope that's not going to be the case with some amendments on the floor, but right now we'll be spending $26 billion or so over the next 5 years automatically. Are payments that will be made to farmers, not because prices are low or incomes are low, but because they've received these payments before, and for no other reason. It'll just be a legacy that carries forward. And so what one of the things about these payments that is unusual is they're fairly predictable. You can tell if someone received a direct payment of a certain amount in 1 year, if it's going to be extended for the next five, multiply by five, and you'll get a sense of how much they'll get as an entitlement over the next 5 years, which is unusual in thinking about entitlement spending, that you can actually identify individuals and businesses and find out how much they'll receive. So let me tell you about some of the highlights of this $26 billion we're set to spend at a time when we have record farm income and record cash prices for many crops that are subsidized. First of all, over 93% of these direct payments will go to just five crops. Contrast that with what Senator Lugar was just describing as his ambition, and Senator Lautenberg, to try and provide more of a safety net for everyone, whether or not they grow cotton, corn, wheat, rice, or wheat. Seven states will collect half of this money over the next 5 years of this $26 billion. Again, the big states that grow those major crops. The 19 states on the Senate Agriculture Committee will come home with about 61% of it. It's a good reason to get on the Agriculture Committee. That money's there, and people obviously join the committee in many cases to make sure they can bring it home, but it underscores the inequity. We've got a lot of states that will be getting very much less. Then, of course, as Senator Lugar mentioned, this program, like all the others, concentrates payments to the largest operators and the ones who've been subsidized for the longest period of time and built up that record of subsidies with USDA. Our analysis shows that over the next 5 years, 10% of the direct payment beneficiaries will collect about 60% of the $26 billion. 10% will get well over half of it. At the very top, this 10%, 152,000 beneficiaries will take in about $15.8 billion. That means that they'll get $104,000 on average each of the next 5 years, or an average of over $21,000 per year. And that's, at a time where we're seeing record prices, certainly for corn and soybeans, and robust prices even now for cotton and other crops. So these automatic subsidies on autopilot will be going forward. It looks as if if our estimates are correct, something like 263 farm businesses will receive $1 million or more over 5 years. 263 companies. Some of those will get a lot of money, well over $1 million. In fact, one of them in Louisiana, called Balmoral Farming Partnership, stands to collect $3.3 million just in these direct payment subsidies over the next 5 years. I want to show you just a few pages from the database. It's live now on the website. This is the home page for it, and I just want to show you a few examples. What we're looking at, these are the states on the Agriculture Committee. Iowa would do very well under the direct payment program. This is an interesting issue for Senator Harkin because he's been critical of payments being made to farmers at a time and in a manner when they don't need it, perhaps. But a big portion of that money will go to Iowa. We've seen Nebraska, Kansas, and so forth. Indiana's on there, number six. Something like 4.5% of these direct payments would go to Indiana. Another analysis that's on the page, and all of these that are underlined are, of course, links. This is the payment concentration. And if you look at the very top here, this is our projection for the next 5 years. The top 1% of the direct payment beneficiaries, or about 15,000 of them, they'll bring home $3.3 billion, just those 15,000 operations. Their five-year total, $220,000, and in many cases, producing crops that are doing very well in the marketplace, about $44,000 per business on average. Again, a huge amount of money. And let me show you a few more pages here. This is one of the top beneficiaries, the Balmoral Farming Partnership. You have Dublin Farms in California getting over $3 million. Live Oaks Planting Company in Mississippi. Another farm business, Phillips Farm in Mississippi, all getting well above $2.5 million as we project over the next 5 years. Automatically, no matter if the prices go through the roof, they'll still get that money. Just a few more points to make here. Here's the list of businesses or the links to businesses that in total will get over $1 million. I mentioned before, 263. California is the number three state there. The rest are pretty much in the central part of the country or down south. But California will have 30 businesses that will receive automatically at least $1 million over 5 years. This during a period of time when we're wondering about how we're going to make ends meet in the nutrition programs. Senator Lugar was so eloquent about that in the Agriculture Committee. Lots of farmers who would like to benefit from conservation programs come to the office every year. They sign up. They're turned away. Why? Not enough money. There's a lack of money. But there's plenty of money still in this program. Just a few more points here. This is the listing of the top beneficiaries. And this is one of the weird aspects of our subsidy law. These direct payments, in many cases, they'll be going to state agencies. They'll be going to prison systems. I believe the top individual beneficiary in Indiana will be Purdue University because they own a lot of farmland, and they'll qualify for direct payments for it. Again, these are the kinds of issues I think pop out of the database that one asks, is this the best we can do with the taxpayers' money if we're really trying to put a safety net under family farmers? And then just, I wanted to go to the list of top beneficiaries in Indiana. And again, I think that the most important part about this database is it opens up these kinds of questions for fair debate. There may be very good reasons why each and every one of these beneficiaries is on there. Let's talk about it. And then just to close, I know since I first testified back in 85, Senator Lugar, and practically every year since then, those of us who have been advocating for more money for conservation programs, just as those who have been advocating for more money for the food stamps, more money for other nutrition programs, we've been making the case that we think it would be fair to provide more money for that. And we've always heard from farm organizations, the subsidy lobby, well, we'd like to be able to provide more money. And if prices were high enough and we could make it in the marketplace, we would. Then we'd have the resources to invest in rural development. We'd have the resources to put into the food stamp program. We wouldn't have to turn away all these farmers at the door of the USDA office when they come in and say, I want to put up half the money. I want some conservation support. We wouldn't have to do that. Well, it turns out now at a period when it looks like the prices are robust, the incomes are robust. I know we're grateful for that. It turns out that there's still a request on the part of, unfortunately, many in the farm lobby to get even more guaranteed income over the next 5 years. And I think the point of today's release is we have some important choices before us in the Senate next week. I think there will be a robust debate, and I hope that at the end of it we'll have a much closer legislation, much closer to what Senator Lugar has introduced than I think what we're looking at now.